church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. I just want to read the 4th through the 9th verses. The New Revised Standard Version says this: I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ had been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the partnership of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For a few moments this morning, if you pray with me and pray for me, I'd ask that we would meditate on the thought, the shift. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, once more again I stand before you, an empty picture before all four of you. Once more again I ask that you would fill this picture, that you would overflow this picture, that you would allow the words, the thought, the direction of the shift to find its way out to those you've given to you, that you would allow this message to find its way out to those you've given a heart to receive, that you would allow this message to find its way out to those you've given a will, a desire to do. So Father, now I ask that these lips and this voice, that you would touch them and hide and use them, that only you would hurt, and this body that you would hide, so that only you would be seen. So, Father, we thank you that you've showed up. Now we ask that you would show out. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For just a moment, and I do not own the rights to this song by no means, but I'd like for you to hear something. last time, you made a shift. Not just a small adjustment, but when was the last time you made a real change? A change in direction, a change in your attitude, a change in priorities, a change in heart. Because we realize a shift is a movement from where you were to where you need to be. It's a change in focus, alignment, commitment. My brothers and sisters, a shift happens when what was no longer fits what God is doing now. So again, I ask you, when was the last time you made a shift? The question that you all might have asked is, why do we need to make a shift? Why do I need to change? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we need to make a shift when we've grown comfortable instead of faithful. We need to make a shift, a change, when we're following voices instead of truth. We need to make a shift when we're stuck in tradition but missing transformation. We need to make a shift when God is calling us forward but we're standing still. And I know this doesn't apply to everybody, but we realize in the climate, in the time that we're living in, a shift is necessary. You realize that when a shift happens, how does a shift make you feel? I know for the last couple of sermons, I've asked questions, and I always ask, how do you feel when these things happen? How does it make you feel when your shift takes place? Does it make you excited but uncertain? Does it make you hopeful but afraid? Does it make you feel challenged, yet renewed? Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite passages because it speaks of change, the one thing that we're afraid of the most, getting out of our comfort zone. But a shift is necessary, and this is exactly what the gospel places us today. From John to Jesus, we have what's called a holy shift. Because you find in John 1, 29 and 30, John the Baptist declares, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And you realize with those words, everything changes. John's disciples, Andrew and another unnamed follower, they shift. They stop following John and begin following Jesus. And if you look at the text, John does not cling to his followers. He doesn't compete with Christ. He understands his role. So his role is to point, not to possess. When the word is spoken, faithful people move. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. When those words were spoken, disciples move from one teacher to another. Church, when God speaks, we must be willing to shift. Y'all know that there's grace in moving forward, right? Paul reminds the church in Corinthians that we are enriched, sustained, and called into fellowship with Christ.
are these?
God's love is before, or God's loving us before we even knew that we needed his love. God's drawing us, nudging us, preparing us for the shift. Prevenient grace, before you knew you needed it, his love, his grace was there. And once you realize that, then he shifts you into a justifying grace. The moment that you said yes to Christ, you became forgiven. You became made right. You shifted from being a sinner to being saved. It's necessary. And once we've been saved, we move into that sanctifying grace. This is that lifelong work of God shaping us, maturing us, correcting us, and helping to live like Christ. There's a shift, my brothers and sisters. A shift that must take place in all of us. And you've got to realize grace doesn't leave us where it finds us. Grace shifts us. As I sat and I communed with God when it came to this, I had to ask God, what does this shifting help me to do? What am I supposed to get when I move from this shifting? And God was like, well, you've got some isms. We've got some isms, don't we? We got to get past these isms. Part of the sanctifying grace is learning to get over the isms of others. Did y'all get that? Learning to get over the isms of others. I got my own stuff I got to deal with, but when I'm dealing with other people's isms, it doesn't help mine. I got to learn to get over the racisms, the classisms, the sexisms, the ageisms, and having the courage to confront my own stuff. I can't deal with your stuff until I deal with mine. Christ's life shows us radical love, radical inclusion, and radical truth. We're in a society, in a world where it's all about me, myself, and I now. Everything bothers us. You're snoring too loud, you're chewing too loud, you're doing this wrong, and you're doing that wrong. There is a lot that is driving us crazy. Because we haven't dealt with our own stuff. Like I said, in today's social climate, we're divided, we're polarized, and we're loud. But I need you all to look. Jesus still says, out of all of that, Jesus still says, come and see. He doesn't say, come and argue. He didn't even say, come and judge. Christ simply says, come and follow. When the two disciples were following him and asked him the question, he says, they said, where are you staying? He didn't give them any mouth or any lip or jump down their throats. He simply said, come and see. That's what he's telling us, my brothers and sisters. When you accept me, come and see where I'm staying. He told Zacchaeus up in the tree, come down, I'm going to have dinner with you today. There's a shift that takes place when you accept Christ. Come, see where I'm staying. Come, follow me. Come, allow me to sit and eat with you. As you heard the song, the whole premise of the shifting in the atmosphere is that when we call on God's name, things begin to change. one's called to preach. Not everyone can be a teacher. Not everyone can sing. We can all make a joyful noise. Not everyone can go out and evangelize. Not everyone can cook the best food. You know what I'm saying? We can't do it all, but God has given us something to do. And it starts first by listening to God's voice. And then moving when we hear it. We're called then to follow Christ, not just to admire him. There's folks that admire Christ, but they keep him on the shelf. Only take it down when the pastor comes in the house. And they put him on the pocket, you know. We're called to allow grace to keep reshaping us. Our lives are fluid. They're not set in stone. A change must happen daily. Christ said, die to self, right? Take up your cross and follow me. You can't stake it in the ground tomorrow because you don't feel like following. Every day you get up, you got to put that cross on and follow God. It might get heavy, but Christ also said, take my yoke upon you. Right? I love this one because we're called to be a church that is always willing to shift towards love, justice, humility, and faithfulness. Church, the question is not if God is calling us to shift. Some of y'all are like, God didn't call me. He didn't call me. You got the call when you woke up this morning. The question is, will we follow him when he says, come and see? Anybody willing to follow him so far as to see what he has in store for you? You never know until you move. Until you make that shift.